tweet at Today SOR.
The Fine Gael Parliamentary Party is heading for Cork today with the three B's high up on the agenda: beef, Brexit and the budget. No doubt the next general election, whenever it will be, will also feature strongly. On the line now, the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Michael Creed. Minister, good morning to you.
Good morning.
All attention, I suppose, in your portfolio is on the whole question of beef now. You had discussions with the interested parties yesterday. Do you expect talks will resume, and if so, when?
Well, Sean, I hope so, but I can't say that definitively. I've been kind of engaged in this matter, I suppose, for nearly 6 or 7 weeks intensively now, and I don't underestimate the challenge of getting these talks back on the rails. I've reached out extensively to the picket line. I've obviously engaged with the representative bodies, but I think this is such a complex, difficult situation. I've also kind of reached out unilaterally to picket lines. I've had, you know, obviously my own constituency experience here. I had people in for a couple of hours. I had, you know, guys in from Kildare in my Dublin office. I was down in Carlow at the ploughing, met a group of protesters on the side of the road. Two fellas from West Clare who drove down from West Clare early one Monday morning to my office, Seamus and Pat, I think, who, to understand kind of, it's not just about price. There's a kind of a deep sense of frustration boiling over, born out of, I think, years of feeling that they have been mistreated, misunderstood, not given the full picture by the meat industry. So,
and how sympathetic are you to that sense on their behalf, or on their part?
Well, look, I represent a rural constituency. I come from that background myself. I deeply understand that frustration born out of a lack of income for these farmers. But farmers do understand the market. But I think it's also about this feeling that over a long period of time, they haven't been taken on board as equal partners in a huge industry for the Irish rural economy. And I think part of the resolution of this will have to recognise that breakdown in relationships and put in place structures into the future for proper partnership. I think that's, I've commented on this issue before, long before this boiled over, the difficult state of relations and how that has to be addressed if this industry is to thrive and prosper into the future, and to recognise that farmers are an equal partner in that business.
And what is the bit, or what are the pieces that need to fall into place before you can say talks can or will resume?
Well, Sean, I don't really want to go into the minutiae of this. In any negotiation, and we're in a situation now where we're having talks about talks, it will require movement on both sides. That's an inevitable reality. And we did have engagement yesterday with both sides, and positive engagement. I think there is an anxiety on both to get there. The how-to is still eluding us. I think we have a kind of a reasonable outline of how that might happen. But I want to get to a situation where farm leaders can go to the picket line and look at their individual farm members and those who are members of no farm organisation who are there and say, listen, now I think we have the basis on which to proceed into these negotiations and get an outcome that enables us to move on. Because there is a real danger now that we approach a tipping point where there are more significant losses for both sides. I'm very conscious that we export 90% of our beef to international markets, and we've had a period of 6 weeks of difficulty, and that begins to have an impact, not just in terms of the media coverage and the reach of that, but also in terms of retail partners.
Yeah, now you said at the outset that this is not just about price, but farmers have consistently made the point that talks that didn't allow for discussions on price were of no benefit. So what's going to happen on that front?
Well, interestingly, Sean, and we have been, you know, involved intensively in trying to promote the concept of producer organisations. These are part of the infrastructure right across Europe, where it gives farmers who come together under a legal structure the entitlement to engage then with meat processors and negotiate price. We can't, because we would be rightly accused of price fixing. If we were to talk about that detail in these talks, we can talk about the difficult market situations, etc., and international markets, etc. And this is, you know, the reality is the price is down right across Europe. But these producer organisations can deliver, and we have at last approved the first application for a producer organisation. And I think that's it's not a silver bullet. It won't address all of the issues. It won't, in many respects, buck the market. But it will give certainty and contractual certainty to those farmers who are in these producer organisations when they engage with processors. And I think that's a part of the resolution. I mean, the other thing, in terms of public policy, the state doesn't buy beef. The state can't tell dairy processors what to pay for milk. It can't tell meat processors what to pay for beef. But what we do is, through public policy instruments, support incomes. And in that context, you know, as your listeners will be aware, we have currently open for applications a €100 million project specifically targeted at the beef sector to address these issues, as well as €20 million that we put into the budget earlier, also targeting in particular the suckler sector.
Right, but just talking about recognised beef producer organisations, I mean, how many of them do you want? Or, I mean, like, the one that's been recognised already, I mean, isn't that just a fairly limited group that it's going to or wants to represent?
Well, they should be widespread. As I said, they're part of the infrastructure everywhere else. The constant refrain that I get, Pat, not just from Sean, from the picket line, is, you know, we are price takers. When you drive up on any morning of the week with a trailer load of cattle, you take the price that's on offer. What a producer organisation can do is give certainty some distance out that if you produce what the factory wants, you can see well in advance what price you'll get. That's how these work. And we have been going around the country for quite some time now, approved facilitators for establishment of producer organisations over 2 years ago, supporting those producer organisations and those facilitators with significant financial resources. And as I said previously, open to increasing that financial resource. I would like to see a substantial number of these. It has been slower in getting off the ground than we would like, but the first one is up and running now.
But what is the advantage in this kind of fragmentation? I mean, surely it might be more beneficial, and certainly the farmers might be better represented if there was one big, strong voice representing them all.
Well, I'm not sure. I would think that ideally we would have multiple producer organisations, you know, probably individually controlling and capable of delivering thousands of cattle. That will get individual meat plants, you know, obliged to compete for the, you know, that volume of cattle. And when there's competition of that nature, that can only be of benefit to farmers, because when the opposite to that is, I go up as a single individual, I don't have the same muscle, and I can, you know, or I am obliged to take price. So look, there's a lot of issues at stake here. There is price, and I think this is the way to address that, but there is also the deep emotional issue. The I've had grown men on the verge of tears talking to me about this. They just feel, you know, that it's time to make a stand. And whilst I understand that, what I want to be able to do now is to work with their representatives so that those farm organisations can go to the picket line and say, listen, we believe we have a roadmap now into negotiations, and, you know, enable them to make progress on their behalf. I think that's important.
Is one of the elements in this that while the talks are going on, there wouldn't be any production going on in the factories?
Well, as I said, I really don't want to go into the detail, but that would be a critical part of it, yes.
And what would the point of that be?
Well, I think on the basis that people who have invested so much over so long would feel that it wasn't for naught, should they be disappointed with the outcome. I'm not asking people to walk away from the protest forever. All I'm asking is for a window to be allowed so the talks can be carried out on their behalf.
I know, but
in a context that is recognising everything that they have done up to this point. Everybody has to move here to to get us to a situation, Sean, where we can make progress. No side can afford the luxury of the not an inch approach.
But where does that leave people who work in those factories? I mean, 3,000 of them having been laid off already.
The best chance we have, and they are obviously a very important part also, the best chance that they have of getting back to work is by talks starting. And as I said, this is a really complex issue. Difficulty in reaching the picket lines, complicated by legal actions, people acting unilaterally, different views in different picket shifts on the same location. A really complex dynamic. Multiple farm organisations, new organisations, sprouting up. And we've engaged with those as well. You know, giving clear expression to the range of issues that I've alluded to. We need to pull the threads together now and enable us to move on to these talks. And I would hope that can happen very quickly because, as I said, there is a tipping point in all of this where it becomes long-term damage to the industry, both inside and outside the farm gate.
And the other question is, what about the retailers? Again, we've heard repeated calls for the retailers to be brought into this.
Yes, and I agree that we should have that engagement. But bear in mind, we have only a reach on, in terms of the domestic market, 10% of the volume of our beef is sold into the domestic market. In fact, slightly less. 90% of our retail partners are in the UK, the European Union. They're in the Asian market. They're in China and elsewhere around the world. But it is important that we would engage, and in fact, in the talks that were concluded originally and where we had agreement by all those in the room on those conclusions, it was that we would set up a process for engagement with the retailers, and I would hope that that would be a part of the outcome, that we can make progress in that area as well.
And before I just move on to another topic, at what stage today are you hoping, Minister, to make that call about whether the talks can resume?
Well, it's not really for me to make that call. What I am doing, and officials in my department are continuing to do, is engage with all of the moving parts here, all of the players, to try and get to a situation where they all move somewhat to create the space for those talks. I would hope that we can do that today, but we will continue at this effort until we get to that space.
Now, the other thing is, it's all over the place today. And last night, Operation Yellowhammer documents published in the UK, basically outlining the worst case scenario. This is a document drawn up last month by senior civil servants in Britain, making clear that the agri-food sector will be hardest hit, something, of course, we've known and certainly been hearing about for a long time. In a no-deal Brexit, it says we're facing business closures, civil disobedience and road blockages. What is your department doing to mitigate the impact on agri-businesses?
Well, I think in the context of the preparation of this year's budget, it is imperative that prudence is the order of the day and that we clearly signal that in terms of that prudence, we have the necessary firepower accumulated also to enable us to react to this external shock of Brexit. So we're engaged, obviously, at a commission level, but also across government, and there is a clear understanding that significant supports would be required for indigenous sectors, not least the agri-food and fisheries side, which has been identified by many and all, I think, as the sector that is most exposed. I mean, if you take the UK market, almost close on €5 billion worth of our exports into that market, and on the aforementioned beef sector, 300,000 tonnes of beef, if that's hit with a wall of tariffs, I mean, that's an existential threat. And my ambition would be, in the context of a no-deal Brexit, to have the financial supports available so that, bear in mind, in a no-deal Brexit, the UK will have to come back around to talk about a future trading relationship. But in the interim, we have to keep our supermarket shelf space in the UK. And that will require significant supports to primary producers, to enable them to ride out the challenge that will be there in that interim space. And that applies across the range of other products as well.
Right, just one other question for you, Minister, finally. The President's intervention in the Defence Forces pay dispute, were you surprised by it?
No, this issue has a significant currency, you know, and has been recognised by government also. I don't, you know, we support as much as the president does, and indeed the Oireachtas does, you know, the contribution that the defence force.
No, but is it right in your view for President Higgins, who's supposedly above politics, to make a direct intervention in a day-to-day budgetary matter?
I think it's quite unusual.
I mean, is it something which has caused surprise or annoyance?
No, I'm not surprised or annoyed, to be honest with you. I mean, it is an issue out there. The president and indeed the government and the Oireachtas are, you know, ad idem with him in terms of recognising the contribution.
Yeah, but should he have said it publicly?
Well, look, he has, and his voice is the same as that of government and the Oireachtas.
Okay, Minister, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's the Minister for Agriculture,
thank
Food and
much.
The Marine, Michael Creed, there on the line from Cork. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.